How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is March 27th, 2012, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Final Raw before WrestleMania just wrapped up. And a lot of comments on this show, I've noticed. I don't know how much has ended up on our front page yet, but I've gotten some emails. I'm sure you have as well. What did you think of the Go Home Raw?
Underwhelming, wouldn't you say?
I felt watching it.
I mean, really, really underwhelming, really disappointing. I'd have to say really disappointing. I thought that, the whole thing was pretty much forgettable. I mean, the Jericho Punk stuff was all right. In fact, it was good. The Team Teddy and Team Johnny stuff was actually, by the book and kind of bad, just because of who the replacements were, and the match was a lot weaker and all that. And then the Rock Cena, they never went anywhere with it. It's not that Rock wasn't good and Cena wasn't very good on the promos, but you got to go somewhere with it. And it was like they're just standing there, and after all this time, and they're just standing there, and one guy goes on a 15-minute speech, and the other guy just stands there, and then the other guy starts talking for about 2 minutes, and the other guy just stands there, and it's like it was a whole night to me, between that and the 1 hour deal that they had before, of Rock and John Cena are big time superstars, okay, no question. All right, they're desperately trying to hit you over the head with the idea that anyone who boos John Cena is uncool, and you're doing it for dorky reasons, and that thing. And that's fine, whatever. I mean, they've been trying to push that line of thought for this whole build-up. They've really hurt Rock as far as him being something special. Not to say that the buy rate won't be good on Sunday, because it's still WrestleMania, and I think it'll be very good, but still they have. And they may even do like record business. It's possible, but I just feel that they never went anywhere with it. It's the same place it's been for a year. I mean, it was a complete lack of creativity from pretty much everyone involved. I think the creative team, and I don't know who would, And again, it's not that they didn't fight on TV. I never expected they would, but there's ways to do it, and there's ways to show passion, and there's ways to, to talk about the match without, just doing the same thing over and over again. Cena was very good, but it's the same shit that he's been doing. Rock is good, but it's the same shit he's been doing. I mean, it's like after all these weeks, it's time to change up and to shock people into doing something, say something different, do something different. There's so many ways to do it, and boy, they didn't do any of them. So I got to say, as a go-home show, I'm pretty darn disappointed.
I felt watching it that I'm usually on the road for the SmackDown before WrestleMania, but it's always the same. It's never like a brand new show with a bunch of angles. It's always that go-home show, in the sense that they kind of show all the video packages, they talk about all the matches, they show a bunch of highlights and that sort of thing. And it didn't feel exactly like that, but it felt really like last week was the real go-home show, and this was a reminder of all the matches. Everybody said a little bit more, but aside from like the Team Teddy stuff, I mean, really, absolutely nothing was advanced. And as interesting as the one-hour special was, and I thought they did a great job putting over that these two guys are stars, and John Cena's a great guy, and Rock is famous and all that. At the end of the day, it was like, when everyone talks about a UFC countdown special and comparing it to a countdown show or that sort of deal, it's kind of like, well, I've watched a lot of those, and the guys talk about why they want to kick the other guy's ass. And there was none of that.
When that show was
absolutely
over.
Absolutely none of that on that show.
When that show was over, I had no more interest in seeing that match than I had when the show started.
Absolutely
none. And it was a good show. But, I mean, again, the clips of Rock were mostly from the DVD that was just released. So I've seen, like, almost all of that stuff already. So it wasn't really anything new. The Cena stuff, I guess it isn't from a DVD because he hasn't had a new DVD released. And it's like, it's the same old, you know, like, they've been so desperate in this entire buildup to make sure that Cena doesn't get booed out of the building, but they've never hit you with, I mean, like, you know, what's the most effective build for any match that we've seen in the last couple of years? It's Rampage and Rashad. I mean, it's like, you know, Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir, I would say, would be second. You know, I mean, that did more business, but it was also UFC 100, and it was also the heavyweight championship. And Rampage and Rashad had nothing going for it except it was the greatest grudge match buildup that I've seen in years and years. And every time those guys were there, and it was their mouths, they didn't do a physical angle other than Rampage beating up a door. And when it was over, you know, you had two guys in a non-title match that did a million buys. Okay, and these two guys are come in way more famous, and I know, you know, it's not MMA. Yeah, but Rampage and Rashad was complete pro wrestling in the build-up. And these guys doing pro wrestling, like they never went anywhere. It was like they were doing, I don't know what they were doing. It was like, these guys are so great on promos, we'll send them out to do promos. It's like, okay, that's good. You know, it's good for a couple weeks. But, you know, you can't do the same thing week after week. I mean, it almost, when I'm watching the last segment, I'm thinking, you know, this is pretty good stuff. But, man, I've seen it already. That was my reaction. I've seen it. I go insult each other. I mean, this idea of, like, John Cena just going on and on and on. And it was, you know, he's great, and it was good, you know. But it's like, you know, going to interrupt him? You're going to just let him go on and on and on? And then Rock goes on and on. And John, you know, it's like, That's not what real guys do. What real guys do is what happens with, you know, Rashad and Rampage, where they show real fire and they interrupt each other. You know, it's like, and that's, you know, I mean, that's what you build. That's how you build up a match. That's what, you know, you have the security lines. There's so many things you can do if you don't want them to touch. Just don't even have them out there together. You know, and, I mean, that was the other one. It's like, why do they need to be out there together at this point if they're not going to touch each other? I mean, it's like, give them separate interviews, just, you know, say, you know, the one guy's banned from coming out during the other one, or, you know what I'm saying? There's just so many ways to do it than to just have the one guy stand there. And, I mean, the other thing in that preview thing that I thought was so, I don't know what the word is, but it's like, they went in there and they're talking about Fruity Pebbles. And, you know, John Cena got that big endorsement out of Rock insulting him, and it's like, my God, John Cena should love this guy. He gave him an endorsement. He's on cereal boxes all over the country. It's like he did the greatest thing for him. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, that's a real grudge. He made me tons of money. You know, I still hate him though because I got a match with him. But it's like, he made me tons of money. Yeah, that's really building up a personal issue. I mean, I'm watching that going like, are they kidding me? You know, it's like they're so trying to get the guys over to the point that they forgot about getting the match over. And again, I know the match is still going to do big business, but did it turn the corner? I don't know. I mean, my gut is, I'm watching all this stuff tonight, and it's like, it didn't turn any corner with me. Whatever it was going to do, you know, and it still may be 1.3 million buys just because they've done a lot of advertising, and these are two gigantic names. But and it may be 1.1 million buys or something. I don't think it's gonna do less than that. But whatever. But the point is that driving it home and making it the biggest match in history, no, I didn't. You know, it may still be the biggest grossing match in pro wrestling history. But did it achieve its potential? I got to say, you know, now that all is said and done, I can't call the build a failure. It wasn't like Bret Hart and Vince McMahon, where when all was said and done, and that thing was over, I'm going like, my God, they had the easy angle and they completely blew it. This one, I would just say that they did well. The interviews were good, but they did not achieve their potential. I don't even think they came close, honestly.
I still think that when Rock comes out in Miami, it's going to be 95% cheers for Rock, 5% cheers for John Cena. Maybe I'll be wrong, but if that's the case, which I still expect.
Well, if that's the case, then they sure wasted a lot of our time, didn't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I watched this show, I know you've mentioned before that Rock hasn't been getting the same reactions coming out, and
he sure didn't tonight.
Well, tonight was a night. I mean, before it was kind of like, well, the music's loud. Like, it's hard to tell. You know, maybe he did, man. But tonight it was like, tonight was a night where they hated John Cena exactly as much as they always hate John Cena, but they liked The Rock a hell of a lot less than they ever have. And I thought, so what did you accomplish here? What was your goal? Especially if, in the end, it's in his hometown, and he's still going to get cheered by 95% of the others. What did you achieve here?
Well, the thing is, like I brought up before, is it's not just about the night. It's about the future. And the fact is that the future is John Cena and not The Rock. The Rock's not going to be around. I mean, you know, maybe he'll do WrestleMania next year. Perhaps he'll do SummerSlam, although he's got a freaking loaded schedule the rest of this year. So I don't know that he's doing SummerSlam. I mean, I don't know. But you know, John has to carry the company. John is the face of the company. And they felt, I mean, that's the whole thing. And I think that that's the weakness of the buildup that I'm talking about, is they did not want that passion thing because they're afraid of people. If they choose sides, you know who they're going to choose. So they wanted something to where, you know, it's two great entertainers there, you know, and it's not, you know, this isn't Ollie Frazier, and it should have been Ollie Frazier, or whatever you want to call it, you know, or Mayweather and Pacquiao. I guarantee you, when Mayweather and Pacquiao, if they ever fight, and they do that countdown show, you know, they're not going to be sitting out there and trading one-liners you know, talking about who's trending on Twitter and, you know, talking about cereal boxes. I think that they're going to be, I mean, it'll be outlandish and crazy and psychotic stuff, but at the end of the day, you're going to believe that these two guys hate each other and you want to see them fight. These guys did nothing to make me want to see them fight. They entertained me for the 15 minutes that they were out there, and when it was over, I did not have any more feeling of wanting to watch them than I did before, than I did 365 days ago when it was first announced, honestly. I thought it was pretty damn big 365 days ago, or whatever what is, 300, you know, whatever it is, 51 weeks ago when they first announced the thing. I don't think that they, I don't know, I'm, you know, just, you know, this is the show that needed to drive it home, and I don't know where the creative fell apart. I don't know. I can't believe that those two guys would have turned down any good creative. I know The Rock wouldn't have turned down any good creative because he's a smart guy when it comes to this stuff. And John's not turning anything down. So to me, that lays the fault out at the creative of not coming up with anything other than, well, these guys are great talkers. We'll send them out here, and John, you get 8 minutes, and Rock, you get 4 minutes, and go and say whatever you want to say. And it's like, well, they've been saying it. It's got to escalate at some point, and it never did.
Well, at least nobody got ran over by a car.
Well, John did get in a car wreck, but well, I guess he's fine.
At least Rock wasn't driving.
Well, he you know, I mean, he had, give him credit. He worked. He could have easily taken the house shows off this weekend, and he sure didn't. You know, he worked 12-minute matches, you know, which, you know, all 3 nights.
Yeah. He's a tough fella.
Yeah, he's a tough fella. He's a tough guy, and he's a great team player, and you know, I mean, they're bound and determined. I mean, it was that same thing when I saw those clips before of you know, the fans and just trying to show you fans who boo John Cena are geeks as a way to shame people into cheering him. And it's never worked.
No, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And they did have, it was a pure legitimate attempt at shame when they had the footage of the fellow that showed up for the John Cena autograph signing in the Cena Sucks
shirt.
And begging to have it signed.
Yeah,
like,
the Cena Sucks shirt. Well, anyone who wears that Cena Sucks shirt is mentally deranged anyway. So, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if you really don't like the guy, you don't buy his merchandise. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you truly don't like the guy. If you like the guy, I mean, more power to you. Then buy merchandise, but don't buy Cena Sucks merchandise. I mean, to me, I mean, any if I would see someone in public with that Cena Sucks shirt, I mean, that's like, you know, I mean, that's like those, the lightning rod of, like, you know, with this bright light shining on this guy's head going, like, I am a complete geek. So, anyway.
Well, let's talk about this show here. The, we mentioned briefly, I don't think there's much more to say about the one-hour special. It's good. There's a lot of stuff from Rock's DVD. There's a lot of stuff about Cena that I don't think would be eye-opening or new to absolutely anybody, but it was still it was good stuff. But again,
well, they're two great personalities. You
sure,
you know, I mean, that's why they're in the position they're in. They're both, you know, larger than life, you know, guys. I thought it was still pretty one-dimensional. You know, I mean, as far as like as wrestlers, they didn't examine anything as wrestlers. You know, like as far as like, well, this guy's good at this. I mean, they made no attempt to do that. It was just like it was like a documentary on two Hollywood stars. I mean, they didn't even trash talk each other in the thing. It was like I kept waiting for, okay, when are they going to cut the promos? And it was like in the last minute or two, they kind of were out there going like, oh yeah, they're going to have a match, but they didn't like, you know, make very. It was very interesting. I mean, it's almost like they were, whoever put it together, instead of the goal, which is to put together, you know, the go home show or the countdown show to build a fight, they were out there trying to win their artsy award. You know what I mean? I'll give you an example. Is the Randy Couture Brock Lesnar fight, the one a couple years ago? The people who did the countdown show, because they came here actually, this very room I'm sitting in. And they interviewed me for it, and it was very interesting because of the questions they asked me, and it was you know, about both of the guys, but the stuff they were asking me was not doing anything to build the fight, and I was really surprised. You know, I'm doing this interview, and I thought that, like, you know, they're going to try to get me to say stuff about the fight, and they did a little bit, but mostly they didn't. They were, you know, about the background of both guys, and it ended up, they had a one-hour special. Nobody ever saw this special because, and I don't know if it was Joe Silva. I believe it was Joe Silva. It might have been Dana. It might have been both. They watched this special, and they go, like, no, you know. And I was told, it's like, you know, you're not on this special. And it's like, the special was really good, but it did absolutely nothing to build the fight. So we're scrapping the whole thing, and they did a completely different one, which ended up being, you know, I'm sure for what they wanted, a whole lot better. And I was thinking that about 45 minutes into this thing tonight, of going like, you know, this is the Brock Lesnar Randy Couture thing that Joe Silva and Dana White said, hey, wait a minute, you know, it's like, this is a really good special, but it's not what we want. It's not making us want to see this fight, and that's the idea, and that's how I felt watching it. So,
well, maybe they can re-edit it for Oxygen.
Yeah, right. Hmm. I don't know. It's just funny because people were just like raving to me about how great this thing was, and I guess it was. But
it was a good special. But as far as building up the biggest match supposedly of all time, it failed.
Well, I think it built up the fact that these are two great giant personalities who happen to be having a match on Saturday. So, the biggest personalities of all time. I don't know that it failed in that way. And again, like I said, I still think it'll do well. But there's a certain emotion when it comes to the giant match, and it's not there. You know, I mean, this was the chance to get it, and it's not there. It's WrestleMania. It's a big WrestleMania main event that's been built up for a year with the two biggest stars in the industry, and all of that's all well and good, and it will do very well because of it. But to, you know, the difference between what Lesnar and Mir had, or what Rampage Rampage and Rashad, or, you know, I mean, just, you know, if, you know, Fred Blassie and John Tolis, just as an example. Of course, these guys could never come close to that, but I'm just thinking about, like, you know, reading the stories in the LA paper the week of the Blassie and John Tolis thing, when I did the obit on John Tolis, and I mean, the way the newspapers covered it and talked about the TV show, and they said, like, this TV show, the go-home show for that match, was, like, one of the greatest TV shows. They didn't say one of the greatest wrestling shows. They said this was one of the greatest TV shows, and they were, and the whole thing of, I mean, you know, these, they put these guys in straitjackets, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, because they had to put Fred Blassie in a straitjacket because he wanted to kill John Tolis. He wanted to kill this man. So that was the only way that they could get that thing through. And I'm saying, you know, yeah, you couldn't do something quite that thing because, again, nobody blinded anybody or did a hot angle like that. But there is a halfway, and there is a line that you can get to off of this. And instead, they didn't go there.
Show opened up with Daniel Bryan and Kane beating Sheamus and Randy Orton. Broke down into a four-way, and Sheamus and Bryan are in the ring. AJ got in the ring and stood right in Sheamus' way. And this was not his qualification, another human being in the ring. So the referee got her out of there. Sheamus missed the kick. Kane jumped up on the apron, gave Sheamus choke slam. Bryan covered him for the pin. So suggest to me that Bryan may not be leaving with the title at WrestleMania.
Suggests to me the same thing. The thing, you know, it's also interesting because that's like completely backward booking, because in theory, when you have a babyface going for the championship, the way to build him up to get the most interest in the match is to make you perceive that there ain't nothing, that this guy's on a roll and there's nothing that's going to put this babyface down.
Yeah, but I can't remember the last time they booked like that.
I know. I'm just saying, when he went down so easy, I'm going like, well, he just showed that he's just another guy. And so you're selling it on the idea that, well, it's his turn to win. Because, well, you know, because everyone, when they saw that, I mean, it was funny because I got emails a lot, actually, when after the show was over, and I went back, and you could see they all came right within about a two-minute period after that match was over, going like, well, they sure gave away the finish. And the thing is everyone was going like, yeah, Sheamus is going to win. And it's funny because that's how people have mentally gotten this. It's like, well, it's his turn then. And it's like, I guess in a sense, if they have educated the audience that the best way to expect a babyface win is to have him lose clean on TV the week before, then maybe in a sense they did do the right thing. I don't know. So,
that is some complex psychology there.
It's not that complex. That was the same conclusion we all jumped to, right?
That is true.
Yeah, and people at the end want to see the babyface win. I mean, again, it's not the match that's selling anything anyway. But I don't know. I wouldn't have let him go down so easy and all that, but that's a different deal.
We had Santino beating David Otunga. We had Laurinaitis down there, Teddy down there, Vicky down there, Hornswoggle down there. Each team had a flag. Flags ended up in the ring. This was the second match in a row where individuals were in the ring that were not in the match, and it was not his qualification. So that's quite the streak. Otunga ended up grabbing the flag from Hornswoggle. He swung it. It bounced off the ropes, hit him in the head. Santino hit the Cobra. 1, 2, 3. And then afterwards, there was a shoving match with Long and Laurinaitis. And who should run down to make the save and give the skull-crushing finale to Santino but Miz? So after all that time...
I know, can you believe it? I mean,
Miz
I was thinking that yesterday.
Just on the team.
When I heard that Del Rio was out of the match, and I didn't know who was going in. And I never for a second suspected Miz because he had his own angle, right? The whole angle was that he wasn't going to be in the match or, you know, on the show, wrestling on the show. And then when he started doing that Twitter stuff yesterday, I was thinking, like, unbelievable. You do this angle for a month, and then at the last minute you change your mind at WrestleMania. Again, it doesn't matter because I don't know that angle of Miz not being on the show was really all that big of a deal anyway, and
no one cared, and hopefully this means he won't run in the main event.
Oh, I think this means that he won't run in the main event. What's the point now?
You know, it's funny, as I watch this, it doesn't air until 9 Pacific here, so I'm watching the show, and about an hour in, I go to the front page of the website, and you've got a bunch of headlines up there, and the first one says, "Final member of Team Johnny is," and I'm like, oh, it's The Miz, because I'd seen it. But then above that it says, and now an opening on Team Johnny. And I thought, oh, God, poor Miz. I thought for sure that something would happen and he would get removed from the match. But that's not what ended up happening. Someone else got removed. We'll talk about that in a minute. Kelly beat Eve. Eve went for a moonsault, missed. Kelly rolled her up. This sets up the tag match at the show with the injured Maria Menounos, who is apparently still wrestling.
She did dance with the stars tonight.
She's tough too. No bumps.
She's not going to. She's not going to, you know, go down her commitments.
Mm-hmm. We had somewhere in here. We had a video package for the Triple H Undertaker match with Shawn as the special guest referee. There were no segments with these men live on the show. The highest rated segment of most weeks. Nothing. They just had a video package, which...
To me, you know what that says? They felt they did everything they could.
Well, good.
You know what, though? If that was the case, it should have been this week.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they had an angle and they thought, you know what, last week was so great, let's scrap it.
Last week it was good. And I mean, some of the stuff, you know, I think that's been the best match as far as that and the Punk match, I think, as far as, you know, building stuff, I think have been, you know, some of the best stuff. But I don't know. I would, you know, it would have been good to have maybe not an Undertaker interview, because Undertaker doing an interview for any length of time usually isn't really very good. But perhaps, you know, maybe Shawn doing an interview.
Sure.
And, you know, just have Shawn do the interview and talk about, well, what's your thoughts going in, and have him say a bunch of cryptic stuff that everyone will read in different ways. I think that probably could have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And why they didn't do that, you know, I mean, I guess that, you know, we had to watch, you know, whatever it was, David Otunga and Santino Marella.
Brodus Clay and Curt Hawkins.
Yeah, right.
Two men not even on the show.
Curt Hawkins isn't on the show?
At WrestleMania?
Oh, no.
Brodus Clay's not at WrestleMania, is he? Am I missing something?
He might. They may wheel him out there for like a 1 minute match. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Hmm.
I don't know. You know. But yeah, no. I mean, it's not in. Yeah.
You just think the go home show would be.
If they were, or they weren't. It doesn't matter. I mean.
Well, it does matter because this is a go home show, and you threw two guys on the show that aren't even on WrestleMania. So what a waste of time.
No. I mean, like that segment could have been. They could have gotten rid of that segment and done something with Shawn.
Yeah.
That could have been a lot more effective. Yeah.
Exactly.
No kidding. Well, you know, again, what does it say about creative?
They're not very creative. This is not news.
I don't know. I mean, I swear I could, you know, with no time, I mean, I could have scripted interviews for all this stuff.
Well, Dave, you're a wrestling fan.
I guess.
So it's not fair.
And let alone if you had a week to come up with ideas. That actually might be the problem, is they have a week. If they only had like 5 minutes, they might be able to come up with like better stuff.
It's possible.
You know, because you just go, okay, what would you do in this situation? And you go, like, this is what you would do. If you had a week to think about it, you've got all these guys, oh, well, that's not creative enough, or no, let's put Brodus Clay in, because, you know, who would expect that?
Christian versus CM Punk never happened because Jericho showed up on the big screen, and this week he had something to say about Punk's mom. He said she was a really nice lady, but her and Punk's father were married after CM Punk was born, which meant that he was a bastard. That was a big final angle here. And this made Punk so angry that he killed Christian and basically beat him off of the WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
What happened to Christian?
His ankle's not ready.
I see.
Yeah. I'm sure that when they put this whole thing together, they assumed that he would be okay.
Yeah.
And he was not.
Well, Ray wasn't ready either.
No, Ray wasn't ready either. Yeah.
So there
Del
you go.
Del Rio was.
Huh?
Del Rio was.
Del Rio was. I don't know what's happened to that poor guy either. Maybe he's running into the main event.
Yeah, maybe.
Brodus Clay beat Curt Hawkins, as noted. Girls danced. It's fine. Big Show beat Primo with the choke slam quickly. Epico got a choke slam as well. And then Cody came out, and the story is that he's rubbing it in that Show is going to fail yet again at the... at the pay-per-view, and said Big Show's name would forever be linked to failure.
Actually, I thought the Cody's interview was pretty good.
It appears that Big Show may actually become the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, it does appear that way.
Unless Lord Tensai runs in and destroys him.
I don't think that he should be the one to go against Big Show. I think that would actually be a horrible idea, and I'll tell you why. Because he's a big dude, but the minute he goes in there with Big Show, the whole size thing is out the window. And so I think that actually be like the, you know, like, I'm not saying that, like, you know, a year down the road, Big Show and Matt Bloom is a bad idea. But right now, Matt Bloom should be in there with somebody who he looks really big against, as opposed to someone who he's actually not going to actually look small against. So I would keep him away from Kali and Big Show and Kane for the time being. And, you know, well, obviously Undertaker, he ain't going to be around Undertaker anyway.
Speaking of Kali, he lost to Mark Henry with the World's Strongest Slam.
In 41 seconds.
You know, I watched...
What a killer he turned into.
I watched SmackDown on Friday, and Kali, at one point, moved, and his leg nearly buckled, and he fell down. And I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody about this, but I watch The Great Kali on television every week, and all I can think is, Vince McMahon's got to know that this guy's like a year away from a wheelchair, and he's just letting him make all the money he can right now. You know what I mean?
I guess.
He's absolutely, completely immobile.
Yeah.
It's getting
worse.
It's very sad. But, yes, he was...
It is sad. It's, you know, it's sad. You know, a lot of, you know, it's sad. He's probably not going to live a long life.
No. So, I hope that's what it is, or just giving him as much money as possible while he can make it. But he lost here to the World's Strongest Slam. And then Mark Henry was going to kill Teddy. And Team Laurinaitis ran down to block the ring. Team Teddy ran down to make the save. Drew McIntyre, with no angle, he's just now on the team as a result of Christian being killed.
Well, that was amazing. Like, in the middle of the match, Michael Cole just says, I got a text from John Laurinaitis, and Drew McIntyre's in the match. What a and Drew McIntyre. It's like you talk about. I mean, granted, I know they expected Del Rio, and that's really confusing. Okay, granted they expected Christian, because they really prepared Drew McIntyre for this spot. God, I mean, it's like adding him to the match takes the match down just because of how he's been booked for the last couple of months.
Yeah, so they're destroying the baby faces when who should make the save but Booker T, who lays out Mark Henry, at which point Teddy invites him onto the team. The end of this show. Wow, I didn't care at all about the Team Teddy, Team Johnny match. And by the time the show was over, I somehow cared less.
No, but I do have to say one thing about it. There really was a good thing, because could you imagine 4 hours of Booker T announcing with Michael Cole? I mean, that's a scary thought. So at least in this situation...
You may still get 2.5 hours.
What?
You may still get 2.5 hours.
No, I think that I mean, it's possible, but I'm guessing that he doesn't announce.
Hmm. We had a Bellas and Zack Ryder segment arguing about Team Teddy and Team Johnny. Eve came up, invited Zack to stay with her in her hotel room. And as noted, for those of you paying attention to the front page, so a couple of weeks ago, she agreed to go on a blind date with him, but...
It's not a blind date.
Or whatever it was. A date.
A date. Unless...
Well, it was essentially a blind date, because he couldn't see her. She was not there. She no-showed.
That's a no-show date.
She no-showed. But we never heard that, because this was on the internet.
That's right. So,
the follow-up segments.
It could just be that it never happened.
So all we know from watching television is that they were going to go on a date,
they may have actually gone on a date.
They may have. We don't know.
And we don't know if it was good or bad. Maybe it was good because he's still in love with her.
Yeah. So they're going to supposedly be staying at a hotel together down in Miami.
No, they're not.
No, she invited him. He said, okay.
Oh, I thought he said he was staying with his team.
That's what he said before she invited him.
Oh, I thought. Oh, so she's going to like screw him up?
I think that she's going to give him a hotel room key to someone else's room or something.
and then he's going to get beat up?
Could be.
That's actually a good angle. I like that.
Could be. But regardless, she says after WrestleMania, things will get good. And he was all excited. So then finally we have the last segment, which we talked about
well,
here.
Well, they're you know.
Trying to turn him into a dork? Too late. Too late. So then we had the Rock Cena segment at the end where John Cena talked about, I don't know, he's been here longer than Rock has been with the company. He loves the company and people really believe it. He has to win. You know,
he sure gave away that finish to a lot more than I was expecting.
Yeah. And then Rock.
I mean, Rock talked about, like, you know, he needs to win, but he sure didn't have the conviction. He just couldn't bring himself to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To do it, where Cena could be so smug, you know, knowing that, you know, he's supposed to win, unless they change the finish. And, I mean, he was just, I'm going to win, and he just had to sit here and take it. I got to tell you this story, because it was about 4 or 5 days ago, a major superstar, one of the biggest stars in the history of the business, was talking to me about this match. And it's actually someone who likes John Cena a lot and just goes, so what do you think Rock's doing? And I go, hey, he's going to lose. And he goes, he should go in there. After what's gone down, he should go in there and the day of the show just go, I'm not losing. And I go, yeah, so like Bruiser Brody, right? He goes, I'm not losing. And he goes, what's Vince going to do? He can't do nothing. And he goes, and he should. He should just do that. And I go, he's not going to do that. There's no way he's going to do that. And he goes, yeah, he should do that. If it was me, I would do it. He goes, just because of the way this thing's gone down. It's like, it's all work anyway. Mm. Nope, doesn't matter. John, he's going at night of the show. He's go, Vince, I'm not doing it. I had a change of heart. Like Ali did with Inoki. You know, I just have a change of heart. Or Undertaker with Brock that one night.
Does this fella have Rock's number?
He probably does, yeah.
There's still time. There's still time. So again, everybody, that was Raw. That was Raw. SmackDown. I guess SmackDown is just mostly, what they do every year. A bunch of stuff. Access. What else do we have?
Well, just go through the SmackDown stuff.
For the taping?
Yeah.
Let me find it here. Presumably, they're going to be live at Access again, as they are.
We're
going to
have some stuff from Access, but they taped 3 or 4 matches.
We had Jericho beating Kofi.
Yeah, which I heard was really good. Well, they've stole the show at the house shows like on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Zach beat Drew McIntyre. Shocking.
Yeah.
Big Show feels in his heart that he's going to win at WrestleMania. Now I think he's going to lose, actually. Maybe he'll lose and snap and turn heel. What do you think about that idea?
Doesn't matter. I mean, if he did, that would be cool, too. It's, you know, something new with him. I mean, he's turned 400 times. I don't know that really matters. But, he's fine. He's fine as a heel. He's fine as a babyface.
So then, apparently, if we believe that this is the main event of SmackDown, Jinder Mahal comes out for a promo. And DX interrupts. So had they not interrupted, the main event of the true go-home show for WrestleMania was a Jinder Mahal promo. That's why Teddy Long should be banished from his GM position.
So now, Jinder Mahal... He's not like on the show, is he?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
I don't know why he was coming out. Maybe he was coming out to complain that he wasn't on the show.
Yeah. I think that this Jinder Mahal segment with DX may have just been...
This has to be off the air.
Yeah, I think it's because they advertised those guys locally in the market when they, you know, were thinking that, like, you know, the go-home show for WrestleMania, of course we're going to have Hunter and Sean on it. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know what? Let's not have Hunter and Sean on the go-home show. But since they're advertised, we got to do something, so... So Jinder Mahal became the sacrificial lamb. He came out there and...
He came out as DX.
Yeah. They came out as DX and they... Sean super kicked him and Hunter pedigreed him and Sean ran around with his turban and that was that.
Then he grabbed the mic and said, Hunter, no matter what happens, I'm still better than you. And he runs away. With Triple H smirking, it says. So yeah. God forbid that airs on television.
Yeah, it sounds like they were just having fun.
Yeah. So there you go, and they'll add some other stuff as well. Had a couple superstars matches. Doesn't seem like anything exciting. Justin Gabriel beat Tyson Kidd, botched powerbomb, and then Heath Slater beat Alex Riley. And that's pretty much it. So there you go. That's SmackDown tapings. And lots of stuff. I'm sure a million video packages. Lots of stuff from Raw. Lots of stuff from Access. And that is your go-home show for SmackDown. Silva Sonnen has been it's been officially announced now. I thought this was hilarious. They're talking about how they're trying to break the record. The attendance record for UFC, which was set in Toronto for GSP and what's his face?
Jake Shields.
Anyway, that was 55,000. And they're trying to break the record here in a stadium that seats 46,000 for soccer and about 9,000 more on the floor. So they may get the exact same number of people in that stadium.
Well, the whole thing is I mean, they may beat it. They because it's actually got a big like a track around the thing. So if they cover up the track, they might be able to get a couple more extra seats on down there. But the thing is that if they, you know, that if they, like, you know, usually with UFC. Like, you know, they there's seats blocked for you know, just different things. I mean, like, just as an example, when they put seats on the, unless if they put all the seats on the floor flat, which means that some people on the floor are going to have horrible sight lines and pay a ton of money. Because you remember when we were in Toronto, one of the things that nobody realized is they did that elevated seating on the floor. But in doing that elevated seating on the floor, that blocked off a lot of the seats in the lower deck because they would have been behind the elevation. So you had 55,000, but, you know, as people probably remember when WWE ran that, before WWE used to do the stage and set up and everything like that. I mean, WWE put, they had 68,000 the 1 year, the Hogan and Rock year. Now, that's more than there were actually seats in that building, and they were just letting people in free just to break the building record at the end. You know, the paid was 61. But I mean, legitimately, you know, they could get 65 in, and UFC got 56 in, even though the Rogers Center people, when asked, I remember, in fact, I did a story on that, and they said that based on the number of requests they had for tickets, they estimated that that they could have sold roughly 100,000 tickets for the GSP fight. But the most they could get in was with the way that building was set up and have good sight lines was 55. So the point is that if you're going to elevate, that means that some of the lower deck seats in the stadium are going to be blocked off. So however many they're going to get in, I mean, you know, whatever the number is, you know, I expect they'll sell out. I mean, it really is a gigantic fight. Now, I think that, you know, you can't keep going to Rio over and over, but they probably won't go back to Rio for another year, I'm guessing, anyway, after this. Well, maybe, who knows, maybe they will. But this is like when you hit a market and you hit something so huge, you know, that you run the market all the time, then you hit this giant peak show, it's very difficult to come back from it. And, you know, very quickly. I mean, eventually you can, but it's you know, right away. So they're gonna. I think that they're gonna have, unless they have a great follow up, they'll have a tough time with Rio. But nevertheless, I think that you know Anderson Silva, Chael Sonnen, it's been built up. You know, it's gonna do. You know, I expect it'll sell out pretty easily, actually. It's interesting because UFC is going to have a show on Friday night in Atlantic City and Saturday night in Rio, and it's just going to be, you know, very.
Nuts.
There's a lot of questions on this as far as, like, the fan base, as far as the people who are in UFC. You know, Dana can't be at the weigh-ins for Brazil, or he misses Atlantic City, or he may just skip all of Atlantic City and just stay in Brazil for the week, which would mean that there would be a UFC show in Atlantic City on FX with no Dana there, which, you know, and then you know what? That's actually fine. The show can go on without him. But, you know, there's going to have to be people that are in, but there are going to be people in Atlantic City that don't go to Brazil and vice versa. And, But the question is, as far as the fan base goes, will the UFC fan base watch on Friday and Saturday? I think that they'll watch on Saturday. I'm wondering how many will watch on Friday. And you know, maybe they will. Maybe they don't. You know, if it's the casual, get your buddies together and let's watch UFC, it ain't going to happen on Friday and Saturday night. No way in hell. Now, those people may very well watch Saturday night, but, you know, a lot of them will probably skip Friday.
All right, let's do a couple questions here before we wrap it up. This person says, I was wondering how well-received UFC was in Japan when they did the last pay-per-view at Saitama. Was the show broadcast nationally throughout Japan, or did it receive modest press coverage and only broadcast on pay-per-view or on some obscure satellite cable channel in Japan?
It was on TV Tokyo at like 3 in the morning on a tape delay for like a one-hour edited thing, I believe. And then they aired it on maybe a week later, in a not in prime time, but like I think in the Saturday afternoon time slot. So I never heard what the rating was, which tells me that it wasn't that great, because if it was a good rating, I'd have heard. I mean, so as far as the show was a success, they legitimately sold out. And a lot of people didn't think that they would be able to do that. I thought the first one would do pretty well, even with, you know, a week main event. And the show was a big success there in that regard. As far as media coverage, you know, it wasn't gigantic or anything like that, but it was covered. But not like, you know, not like a gigantic event. Not like Pride used to be covered or anything like that. It didn't. It's interesting that they were able to, pull it off without, they pulled it off. It was a success. I presume they'll probably do one show a year there, and I think at one show a year, I think they'll do all right in that market.
This person says, what is the status of Brock Lesnar? I'd love to see him sitting ringside and have a stare down with Undertaker after his match and set the stage for next year's Mania. Any chances of Brock returning for one last Mania appearance? If not, how about Brock and Austin?
Brock wants to do Austin. So we'll see.
So does Punk, actually.
What?
So does Punk.
Well, Punk definitely wants to do Austin. I don't know which one Austin would rather do. But Brock is interested in Austin or Undertaker for next year. It sounded from an interview with Rock that he would be interested in Lesnar for next year. So I expect, an attempt to get Lesnar. And I think, you know, by a year from now, I mean, as far as him showing up at Mania and doing something, doing a run-in, being a big surprise, I would make, if it was me, I would make every effort to get him on the show to do an angle to set up next year. Or to surprise people and just have him show up as one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, Brock Lesnar showed up at Mania unadvertised. I would do that. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if that happens.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to be back on Wednesday, the final show in studio before we head out to Miami. A bunch of shows over the next couple of days as well, and some shows from Miami. And, of course, there's a huge weekend of things. There's Ring of Honor, there's Dragon Gate, there's, I think, a Wrestle Reunion, there's Access, there's WrestleMania. The list goes on and on. Talk about a lot of that stuff Wednesday, plus all of the news. Have a new Figure 4 up tomorrow, new Observer up on Wednesday. So check it all out. We'll talk to you again after a while.